I think it's that we're relatively young states. And as such, we don't have entrenched institutions. We don't have entrenched political organizations so that people who have never been involved in politics can run for office and succeed. We have very much an entrepreneurial spirit. You know, we have a lot of great companies who call the Pacific Northwest home, whether it's Nike to Microsoft to Amazon.com or Starbucks, because you know, it's a great place to live. It's a great place to raise a family, to enjoy the outdoors and the environment. And because of that, I think we have kind of a very entrepreneurial spirit and kind of an adventuresome spirit, which enables us, I think, to approach things with new eyes, new ways, not be tied to the traditions of the past, to ask questions. It's very much a populist state, and so we're always looking for new ideas. We just came up with all these different innovations, government, services, acquisitions, things over the internet, just customer service, and then even budgeting, and saying, recognizing we'll never have enough money to do everything. We need to set priorities, and without even raising taxes, and still enhance education. So we focused on some key objectives that we thought everybody could rally around. Commercial diplomacy and promoting exports. And the second one was intellectual property and trying to enhance innovation within the United States. Green jobs, really promoting that as a great new source of good paying jobs throughout America. And then finally, just efficient delivery of services in whatever we do, whether it's to each other within the Department of Commerce or to our external stakeholders. And then we really tried to involve everybody throughout the Department of Commerce in pursuing these goals and in involving everybody from top managers all the way to the line staff. We really need to set measurements. We need to really define what is success in each of these priority areas and in all the different functions that our bureaus and our staff are constantly doing day in and day out within the Department of Commerce. If you define success, then you have to figure out how you measure it. And then you get everybody involved in saying, is what we're doing relevant and or going to achieve those goals? And if you use measurements, then you can determine whether or not your organization is truly aligned and implementing and making progress on all the different goals that you have. And when you set super high stretch goals, it forces organizations to completely rethink their entire processes and procedures, every bit of their operations, and instead of just tinkering around the edges and making marginal changes. If you have a super high stretch goals, it forces you to completely rethink how you do things and basically start from scratch. And that's where you also then involve the line staff, who have a great source of ideas and frustrations with how we do things. And you have to really tap into their expertise, their dedication, their pride in achieving these goals. I also think it's very important, once you set these stretch goals, to spend a lot of time on how you measure your progress. And oftentimes, we don't give enough time and deliberation on those measurements. And what we've done early on is to focus on not only the goals, but then the measurements. But if you also have the right measures in place, then you can make instant decisions or mid-course corrections. And that's so key to helping you achieve success. We've done this, for instance, on the digital television conversion, the conversion from analog to digital television. And we went back and forth with our bureaus in terms of how we define success and what would be the appropriate measure. And we spent over a month on this. And finally, we agreed on it. And then once we took those measures, as well as our goals, we started analyzing everything we were doing and saying, is this consistent and help us achieve these goals? And we found out that we were putting time and energy into programs that would not further the mission, would not help us accomplish the goals. So using those measurement devices as well as the goals made us rethink how we did it. In the end, we achieved 99% of American households able to continue to receive their television broadcast. 99% of the American households on the day of the switchover had no problem continuing to receive their news or favorite community broadcasting. And we returned $500 million back to the Treasury at the same time. On the census, we're going to actually end up the 2010 census with over $1.5 billion in savings. And we did this with incredible dedication of the line staff, constantly taking in new ideas. But we also did it by almost 6 months ago, spending several months focusing on what were going to be our measurements, how did we define success, knowing that we had to have agreement on these measurements so that once we got into the thick of the census, we didn't want any arguments over, is this right data? Is this reliable data? Oh my gosh, this can't be right. We better come up with new data because we have to make instant decisions. And so we spent many weeks and months in the fall of 2009 making sure that we all were agreed on the data that we would use, the measurements that we would use, and the targets by which we would define success. And so we were able to make those mid-course corrections along the way, devote additional resources here and there, make changes, and as a result, we're going to finish the census on time with fantastic response rate, defying everyone's expectations. 72% of households mailed back their census forms. Everyone predicted that it would be maybe in the mid to high 60s. And as a result of the great work that the folks did, 72% response rate, which automatically saved as much as $500 million right there. And then other programs were saving over $1.5 billion back for the Treasury. Well, each of the bureaus or each of these different silos were requiring to really embark on process improvement, high performance programs. And they were actually bringing in teams from each of the different bureaus, whether it's Census, whether it's Patent and Trademark Office, to NOAA, to International Trade. And we're actually having everybody make presentations and kind of showcase everything that's happening. And in some ways, it instills a competitive spirit and a little bit of shame and embarrassment because we see some bureaus that are very small but making outstanding, amazing results in reducing processing time, achieving great efficiency without spending any extra money, unleashing the power, the creativity of line employees, and constantly using measurements and making mid-course corrections. So we're really trying to, despite the disparate functions of everybody, bring some commonality to how we approach performance goals and performance management and excellence. And then we're also looking at best practices too. There are some things in the Department of Commerce that we have inherited that need significant change, whether it's in acquisitions, procurement, and so now we're thinking about how can we take the best of some of the organizations that we have and develop into best practices or common standards that then will drive out to all the different agencies or the different bureaus. And I really think that there's so much opportunity in the federal government to bring a lot of these practices of what we did in Washington State or even the private sector to make government more efficient and more responsive and more effective. Because we will never have enough money to satisfy all the program desires of agencies. We'll never have enough money to satisfy everyone's wish list. It's better that we do a few things really well instead of so many things in a haphazard or mediocre or poor fashion. I also think it's important that we unleash the talent of staff so that they can make progress and achievement and improvements in the agencies. Because us politicals, we politicals will come and go. But we're talking about line staff who are dedicated, who have pride in the organization, who have been here for 15, 20, 30 years. We've got to let them drive the organization. And they, you know, have so much, you know, examples of things that stick in their craw that we need to kind of really capitalize on their ideas and really use them as the drivers of change. Well, we're trying to put together these process improvement excellence programs, and we want every bureau, every subunit to come up with things that they would like to target. And then we want to publicize all the great work, all the efficiencies, all the improvements, and we need to publicize it not just within the Department of Commerce. So there's also a little bit of competition saying, oh my gosh, if they can do that, we can do that. We can do better than that. But we need to have public recognition. We need to have public recognition so that I think the American taxpayer would love to know how efficient the federal government and agencies can be and in fact are, and the changes that we're making. And I think it also gives pride and recognition to the public employees. It's my hope that people in the Department of Commerce and throughout the federal government will be able to stand up with pride and tell their neighbors, their friends and family members, I work for the Department of Commerce. I work for the U.S. government.